The Dwarf, written and narrated by Tony Dawson. My ground floor apartment overlooks the condo courtyard and the street beyond. A lady, maybe in her mid-30s, regularly parks her shiny new car nearby and proceeds to walk a large Dalmatian past the condo on her way around the neighbourhood. The lady in question is a dwarf. She presents all the characteristics of the disproportionate type of dwarfism: short limbs, large buttocks, and a prominent forehead. We've only ever coincided on a couple of occasions outside on the street. Each time we exchanged the usual pleasantries, and she went on her way, and I on mine. I often think how difficult it must be for her, how she probably had a miserable childhood, because other children can be so cruel with anyone who looks different from them. Thinking back, I remembered a number of dwarves I'd known personally, like a journalist in Salamanca many years ago. But he had the advantage, if it can be described as such, of being a proportionate dwarf. He looked much the same as everyone else, except that he was very short. However, all the other dwarves I've seen were of the disproportionate type, like my lady neighbour, and they tended to perform in circuses or other spectacles, such as mock bullfights. One day, as I was walking around town, I saw the dwarf lady without her dog, surrounded by half a dozen teenage boys who were clearly harassing her. They might say that they were just teasing her, but they were being deliberately nasty. You know the kind of thing. "Where's Snow White then?" Or, "Which one are you, Dopey? When do the other six arrive?" Now, I'm an old man. In fact, I was born the same year that the film of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs came out. Yet despite my age, I couldn't ignore what was going on. So I walked up to the gang of spotty-faced young thugs and pointedly asked them what they thought they were doing. "Run along, Grandad, or you might get hurt," the biggest and most aggressive one growled. Because of my age, and because running across cocky goons like this bunch on the lookout for trouble is inevitable, I always carry a 30-centimetre steel rod for sharpening carving knives on in my shoulder bag. A sharp smack across the wrists or fingers would quickly deter aggression, as would a dig in the groin with it. I was just about to pull it out of my bag when the dwarf lady said, "Don't worry, I can handle this." She turned to the galoot who'd threatened me and said sweetly, "How's your acne, sonny? You think it can't get any worse?" "Not heard of the monkeypox virus, then?" And with that, she pointed at his face. It immediately burst into a florid, bubbling mass of suppurating pustules. It was all I could do to see where his eyes were. The other five teenagers turned pale and took to their heels, terrified that the same thing would happen to them. "Thanks for being a gentleman and intervening on my behalf. But as you can see, I'm able to take care of myself. And I don't actually need my dog to protect me. I just like dogs. My name is Griselda, by the way, and I run my own online magic business. Would you like my app?"